Good morning and praise Jesus. My name is Susan Ganucci. I'm the administrator of Into the Light Ministries in Branson, Missouri. We invite you to join us every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. at WITA Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. Our program is The Alarm Call, but don't hit that snooze button, because in the next half hour, you'll hear a message that just might change your life. But before we join today's service in progress, Miss Joanna Bernier will bless us with a song. Now let us join Reverend Ron Bernier as he ministers the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Praise God. I'm glad for each one of you this morning. I bless God that you're listening. This morning we're talking about trusting God, having faith in God, believing that God will fulfill his word in your case. I want you to remember that whatever the Lord says, he is not a respecter of persons. Whatever he does for one, he'll do for all. This morning I would like to begin from the book of Daniel. And if you have your Bibles, would you please turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 13, the very last verse in the very last chapter of the book of Daniel. Myself and my wife, we are both avid readers. Personally, I enjoy mysteries and spy novels, etc. But I always read the last few pages first. And it drives my wife absolutely crazy. She can't stand it when I do it. She says, how can you possibly read the last part of the book, you know how it ends, and then you begin at the beginning and read through? And I tell her it's because I don't like sad endings. I don't like bad endings. I like to know it turns out the way I want it to turn out. I remember when I first got saved, I read the end of the book first. I found out we won. And I said, thank God for that. Then I could afford to read the rest of it. One day I hit upon the book of Daniel, and as always, I started at the end. And I want to read to you, I'm reading from the King James, some of you have a version that's a little bit clearer, but in the King James, the last verse, chapter 12, verse 13, book of Daniel, the word of the Lord, the angel is speaking to Daniel, and he says, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now let me give that to you in modern English, present day English. The angel of the Lord said unto Daniel, look, Daniel, you've got it made. You got no worries in the world at all. Just go on and do whatever comes up, and eventually you're going to pass away, you're going to die of old age, and then in the resurrection you're going to be raised up and you're going to go to heaven. How would you like to get a message like that? How would you like an angel to appear to you and say, look, you've got it made. From now on, all you have to do is just go on your way, do whatever comes along. In the end, you're going to die, but then you're going to be raised again, and you're going to be in heaven for all eternity. What a powerful word that would be. And when I read that, I thought, now God's not a respecter of persons. So what I got to do is find out what Daniel did. There's only 12 chapters in this book, so if I study it, I can find out what Daniel did, and then the same promise would apply to me. And the same promise would apply to you. I remember a while back, I was in Australia a couple of years ago, and I was ministering not this exact thing, but something along these lines in trusting God. And I said to one of the men there, remember, God is not a respecter of persons. If you do thus and thus, God will do his part. And he said to me, the thing I need more than anything is another job, because the one I have is driving me crazy. And we shared a few scriptures, and I said, look, if you will do these, if you will honor God in this way, God will change your employment situation. Well, I seen him a couple months later, and he said the most unbelievable thing had happened to him. He said he had actually gotten fired from the job that he hated so much, and not knowing what to do and not having any money, he literally went for what he thought was impossible. He went out and took out a loan for a truck, for a delivery truck, and he got the loan. He never thought he would get it, but he got it. And he started in the delivery business. He was working for this big company in town. And when I had run into him a couple months later, he was making four times the money he had made at the previous job, plus he was making all the payments on his truck. And all he did is honor God in those few scriptures I had given him. I want to do the same thing with you this morning. I want to share with you five things that Daniel did. I read this book and I studied it and I looked at it because I wanted to hear that message from God. I wanted to find out what Daniel had done. And this is what he did. If you would go with me back to the first chapter of Daniel, the first chapter in verse 8. And the word of the Lord says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, and therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Isn't it amazing? Daniel purposed, he committed in his heart. The word that is used here is almost like an addiction to narcotics or alcohol or something. He purposed in his heart that he would, under no conditions would he defile himself before God. Do you know what the biggest defilement before God is in the world today? Television. There's television, there's movies, there's books, there's all manner of things you can do. But right now, if you would purpose not to defile yourself with anything, not to defile yourself before God, but rather you would stay clean before the Lord. Number one, do not defile yourself. Number two, if you would go with me over to chapter 1 and verse 20, it says there, "In all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm." You want to be 10 times smarter, 10 times wiser than the man that you work to? You want your boss to look at you and say, "This guy is 10 times better than anybody else I have in the plant, than anybody else I have working for me"? Purpose not to defile yourself before God. Purpose to keep yourself clean before God. If you would go to chapter 2 and verse 27, it said, "And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, or the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known unto King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these.'" Now Daniel could have went in there and said, "Oh yeah, I know what this is about, king. I can discern this for you." Daniel didn't do that. Daniel did not take the glory unto himself, but rather Daniel made sure that all the glory went to God. Daniel, in essence, said, "King, there's no possible way anybody can do this, including me. But there is a God in heaven who can do it." How often have you known the answer to something and said, "It's not really me, but it's God who has given me this. It's God who has caused this to be." You know the old saying they used to have, "Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps"? That is an impossibility. You did not decide where you were going to be born, how you were going to be born, whether you were going to be a paraplegic, whether you were going to be perfect in health, whether you were going to be born into money or into poverty. God decided all those things long before you were born. We need to give the glory unto God. Now, if you would go right on in chapter 2 and down to verse 48, "And then the king made Daniel a great man, and he gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all of the wise men of Babylon." If you would seek ye first the kingdom of God, all of these things shall be added unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ said that in the New Testament. If you would seek first the expansion of the kingdom of God, if you would not defile yourself, if you would give the glory to God, then God would bless you. In turn, God would give you favor in the eyes of your employers, in the eyes of the rulers, and in the eyes of the world's employment, wherever it is that you work. God will give you that favor. You will find that, as I said, God is not a respecter of persons, that it will happen to you in the same way that it happened to Daniel. Let's jump over to chapter 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and they said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, in those days, you just didn't go to the king and say something like that. But these young men had faith in their God. They believed in their God. Notice again, they gave the glory to their God. They didn't say, we're going to get out of this thing on our own. We have enough intelligence to figure a way out. They said, our God is able to deliver us. But whether he delivers us or not doesn't make any difference. For our God is in charge. They had that kind of faith in God. I wonder how many people have that kind of faith in God today. How many times have you been up against it? Have you been up against a fire in the world? Have you been up against some terrible situation that there was no way out of? And yet that still small voice, the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, said, I will make a way where there is no way. If you would just have faith in God, if you would just believe God, it may be the 13th hour. God may test you to the end, but God will bring you through. Now, if you would just go, please, to verse 25, still in chapter 3 and in verse 25. He answered and he said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and no one is hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Now the king had thrown them into the fire, and the fire, as you well know, was heated 7 times hotter than normal. Even the guards that tried to push them in, they managed to get burnt to death themselves. And yet when the king looked in the fire, there they were walking around down in the bottom. And you'll notice something strange here. The only thing that was burnt were the chains, the ropes, that held them. The only thing that God allowed to be burned was the bonds that they were in. If you will have faith in God and you will stand in that faith, the only thing you're going to see fall off is the chains that bound you in that place you're in. I don't care what the problem is, it doesn't make any difference, whether it's financial, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's employment, whatever. If you will have faith in God, if you will do these things, if you will stand and let God take over, you will find the only thing that's going to fall off, the only thing that's going to be singed, is those ropes, whatever it was, that kept you bound. You get on to verse 28, it says, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake, and he said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Let me tell you one of the biggest false gods in the world today, music. Rock and roll, gangster rap, but you go on and on and on, acid rock, all the rest of it. They did not serve any god except their own. And therefore, I will make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver like this God. And then the king promoted them again. Notice this, the king promoted them again. Thus far, they have trusted in God. They have committed not to defile themselves, and they have given all the glory to God. If you would jump over to chapter 4 in verse 37. In verse 37, says, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. In other words, he is able to bring them down. Don't worry about those that walk in pride and speak all manner of evil against you, but rather consider yourself blessed, because God knows how to take them down a few pegs, and God will take them down a few pegs. The king admitted that God knew. Read before that what took place, what God did in this case, how God took them down, until he stood up and he said, "This is a God who knows how to take men down to be able to bring them to a base." If you would jump over with me, please, to chapter 5 and verse 13. "And then Daniel was brought before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom my king the father brought in out of Jerusalem?" Notice that this is a new king now, and just to give you a little bit of background here, Daniel had been put in prison, he had been locked up, and a new king had been put in, but all of this time, Daniel had never given up his faith in God. He walked with the Lord, he waited upon the Lord. Too many people go and they pray, and then they wait 10 minutes, and if it hasn't come to pass, then they got to go out there and try it in their own strength. But the word of the Lord says to wait upon God. He will do it in his time. And in his time, it will always be perfect. It will always work out. Now, if you read over in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom." And over these rulers, that they might give account unto them, that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel, he was preferred above all of the rest of them because of an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The king set up 120 governors to watch over his kingdom, that he would not be hurt in everything, that he would be financially protected in everything. And over these 120 people, he put Daniel. Let me tell you something that automatically happens. As soon as you are put in charge, as soon as you are put up on the top job, whether it's the foreman, the vice president, whatever, one of the first things that's going to come up is jealousy. It's an automatic thing. It happened then, and it happens now. And as you read on, you will find out that these 120 people whom the king had appointed were almost immediately jealous because of Daniel. And they went to the king. They got together, and they said, "How can we get Daniel? We've got to get him somehow." But they themselves admitted, they said, "Daniel really is perfect in everything he does. The guy's honesty is above reproach. Everything he does is honest. He's always looking out for the king. What can we do?" And they said, "The only thing we can do is we can get him in his religion, because we know that nothing will change his religion." So they went to the king and they talked to him and they got him on his pride. And they said, "King, let us set up a rule that literally nobody can worship any other god except you." Well, the king, in a moment of pride, agreed with him, and he passed that law. And the law was passed that you were not allowed to worship any god except the king. What did Daniel do? The very first thing he did, Daniel went home, opened the windows so everybody could see him, and then immediately he knelt down and prayed towards Jerusalem. He prayed unto his God. And he prayed every day. He prayed several times a day. And he did it purposely that they could see him pray. Now, as soon as they seen that he was praying to another God who wasn't the king, they immediately went to the king and they said, "Oh, king, by the way, remember that rule you passed? Remember that thing about Daniel? Well, he is praying to another God. He's praying several times a day, and he's doing it in front of everybody with the windows open. They can see him. Remember, that was the law. You have to enforce that." The king didn't want to, but he had to. So he had no other choice. He put Daniel in to the lion's den. And Daniel stayed in the lion's den overnight. And the next morning, the king came and yelled into him, and just to paraphrase it, the king said, "Daniel, are you still okay? Did the God you believe in take care of you?" And Daniel said, "O king, live forever. For the God that I trust in has closed the mouth of the lions and has kept me safe." This is the point I want to get to right here. This is the point I want you to see, because this is what's powerful. Once the king seen what had been accomplished by Daniel believing in his God, he passed a new rule. He said, "I want you to go get the 120 people who spoke against Daniel. Then I want you to get all their wives. And then I want you to get all their children. And then I want you to throw them into the lion's den to be ripped apart, limb from limb." Think about that. There was 120 people with their wives. That makes 240. In that day, they had a little more children they had, the better. Everybody had 10, 12, 15 children. But let's just say they even had 5 or 6 children. You're still looking at somewhere around 1,000 people that were killed. They were torn limb from limb. And what had they done? They had dared speak against a man of God. They didn't touch him, they didn't hurt him, but they dared speak against him. That was it. They dared speak against him. And I'm here today to tell you, if you will do the 5 things that Daniel did, if you will not defile yourself, if you will commit yourself not to defile yourself, if you will have faith in God, if you will be a man of prayer, if you will have zeal for the things of God, and if you will be faithful in your business manners. And that means not even so much as stealing a pencil and taking it home, but be faithful in all things to do with business. God will reward you, and he will treat you the same way he treated Daniel. Remember, God is not a respecter of persons. He will do the same thing for you he did for Daniel. I want to leave you today with this thought. Nobody touched Daniel. Nobody hurt him. They dared even speak about him. And God's revenge was approximately 1,000 people torn limb from limb because they dared speak against a man of God. Somebody speaks against you and says all manner of evil, let it go. Just let it go.
Thank you for joining us here at WITA Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. Again, the name of our ministry is Into the Light. Our address is P.O. Box 1523, Hollister, Missouri 65673. And our phone number is 417-337-8060. We invite you to visit our website at www.intothelight.org. And you can email us at itlm7@pcis.net. We'll be on the air every Saturday at 9:30 a.m., so please tune into the alarm call and receive all that the Lord has for you.